Thank you, Sarah. We end our news stories with apologies from the council for unacceptable five-year delays to the repair of city flats, and the Archbishop of Canterbury visits Norwich.
A plea for people to donate household furniture to help Syrian refugees fleeing civil war to start new lives in Norfolk has had a resounding response. In October, Norfolk County Council made a public appeal for donations of household furniture or general items to support the Syrian refugee resettlement programme. And bosses at County Hall described the response as, quote, resounding, after they were inundated by donations from the public. The team has been working to collect the offered items and move them into the homes of the refugee families being resettled in Norfolk. The refugees are not put into council homes, but are housed through the private sector leasing scheme. The county council is also looking to recruit volunteer support workers to help the refugees, such as by helping them to form links with the community and to use public transport.
The Prince of Wales used to take his sons litter picking during their school holidays spent in Norfolk, the Duke of Cambridge has revealed. William and his brother, the Duke of Sussex, thought it was normal to be given spikes in black plastic bags as teenagers and encouraged to clear up other people's rubbish. William shared the anecdote about his childhood summer holidays in a new BBC documentary marking Charles's forthcoming 70th birthday. Talking about his father, William said that he lives the way he advocates when it comes to his environmental beliefs. William went on to say that his father was affected by the backlash he received for his environmental views, which saw him ridiculed for supposedly talking to plants. Charles is well known for his campaigning to protect the rainforests, save endangered species from extinction, and combat the threat of climate change.
Norwich City Council has apologised for a five-year delay in carrying out repairs to a block of flats in Mile Cross, after initially promising it would take just a few weeks. People living at Lefroy Road claim that they were told ceiling boards outside their flats would be replaced within weeks after being taken out in 2013. But 5 years on, and the council is still yet to carry out the work, despite repeated requests from residents. The initial work saw the ceiling boards above the external stairwells and walkways removed, exposing the woodwork and concrete underneath. The council said that the work was carried out as part of a structural survey and that the boards did not contain asbestos. A spokesperson for Norwich City Council said, "We apologise to our residents for the unacceptable delay in carrying out these repairs, and we will be investigating how this has happened. In the meantime, we have instructed our contractor to replace the ceiling boards as a matter of urgency."
From the odd layout of Norwich to his sympathy for one of Norfolk's most famous rebels, fans of the best-selling author C.J. Sansom have enjoyed a rare opportunity to hear the author talk about his latest novel. On Saturday, an audience of more than 720 people gathered in Norwich Cathedral's nave to hear C.J. Sansom discuss the latest instalment in his popular Shardlake series, Tombland, with fellow author William Shaw. In a rare public appearance, the author touched on the trips he took to Norwich while researching the book, the difficulty of writing while undergoing chemotherapy, and how his own childhood experience of bullying informed the creation of one of the book's characters.
The Archbishop of Canterbury has visited Norwich, spending time chatting to market traders, fashion students, and even donning an apron to serve lunch at a city centre cafe. The leader of the Church of England, the Most Reverend Justin Welby, was visiting the city for the first time since 2013. He began his visit with a service at St John the Baptist Roman Catholic Cathedral, where he heard that news of his visit had reached the leader of the Catholic Church, the Pope, in Rome. From there, he headed into the city centre, visiting the Forum before climbing the steps of City Hall to take in the views from the building's balcony. Joined by the Reverend Reverend Edward Carter, vicar of St. Peter Mancroft Church, the Archbishop stopped off at Norwich Market, where he spoke to stallholders, including Mark Wright, who runs Taxi Vintage Clothing, and who gave the Archbishop a pair of sunglasses. The Archbishop finished his tour of the city at Norwich Cathedral with Evensong, followed by a Reflections on Reconciliation-themed event.
A memorial which commemorates the lives of more than 300 Norfolk men who died in Boer War is amongst the talking statues in Norwich which have been vandalised. The peace statue, located at the agricultural plain and castle meadow junction, is one of 10 city statues which have had their stories brought to life as part of the Talking Statues art project. Designed by Sing London, the project was brought to Norwich by local production company Creative Nation in September with the help of partner organisations across the city. But the Peace Memorial, William Kemp in Chapelfield Gardens, and the Amelia Opie statue in Opie Street have all had their plaques removed, meaning people are unable to listen to the statue's stories.
Public donations to charity, the Big C, have part-funded a piece of state-of-the-art cancer-fighting equipment that is now in use at the Norwich Research Park. The equipment is currently being used by Dr. Darrell Green, a senior research associate at the University of East Anglia, for his work on childhood bone cancers. The ClearCell FX system will be used by Dr. Green, who will soon take up the position of lecturer in medicine at UEA. Dr. Green said, "This piece of equipment, which isolates cancer cells that have been shed into the blood from tumours, is far superior to closely related technologies. For over 30 years, treatment for bone cancer hasn't changed. Last year, partners of the National Cancer Research Institute spent £683 million on cancer research, but only £430,000 of that was for bone cancer, down 3% from the previous year. There are only two of the machines in the UK, one in Manchester and one in Norwich." And that's all from this edition of Chatterbox. All the features were taken from the Eastern Evening News with the kind permission of Archant, but Chatterbox accepts responsibility for this audio version. You are receiving this recording as you have provided Chatterbox with your contact details. Chatterbox will never provide your data to any other organisation, and we promise to keep your details secure. You can ask to change or delete your data at any time by emailing contact@cbtn.org.uk or by calling 01603 765 365. When you're finished with this memory stick, pop it in the wallet supplied and drop it in a postbox, preferably by next Tuesday, not forgetting to turn the address label over. And there's no postage to pay at all. But don't worry if you haven't listened to everything by next week. Keep your memory stick until you have listened to all that interests you. We hope you've enjoyed listening to Chatterbox, and our thanks go to our loyal volunteers who make up the production team. Your readers this week were Elizabeth Stimpson and James McGarry on part one of the recording, and me, Richard Matthew, with Ree Trakraborty on part two. Stephen Cox was the sound recordist, and Sarah Lusher was the editor. And that's all from Chatterbox this week. So from me, Richard Matthew, goodbye.
And from me, Ree Trakraborty, goodbye.